This is the Quocast. My name's Jamie Dyer, and I'm here today with Brian from the band State of Quo, although you might know him as Brino for obvious reasons. Welcome to the podcast. How did you get involved in State of Quo?
Well, it's a long story, really, Jamie. I mean, I've been playing in Status Quo tribute bands for about 15 years, and, you know, State of Quo was always my aim, because back when I started, I went to see State of Quo at the old Limelight in Crewe. Fantastic venue, unfortunately gone now. But they were on. Graham was the bass guitarist then, and Graham has packed in for reasons, you know, with his back and things. But back then, Graham was immense. He was long hair. I haven't got any hair, but he had long hair, flicking it back, looked great, had a Kramer bass, and I thought, I want to be there. And so several bands later, all Quo bands, Ian Hill, the front man of the band, gave me a call and said, would you like to join the band? I'd just got rid of my basses, and I thought, oh God, I can't say no. So I said, yeah, definitely, because I'd had a really bad accident where it broke me ring finger on my left hand, and I thought my career as a bass player is over. So as soon as Ian said it, that was enough to get me working the physio on my hand and things like that. So I went out, quickly ordered a new bass, new Marshall rig, all the new gear, and then I joined the band, and then the rest is history, really. I've been with them since that day, so it's been about 3 years now, and I can honestly say it's been an amazing roller coaster.
State of Quo are considered to be one of the best tribute bands out there. Completely nail the sound, in my opinion.
Well, you're right, and the strange thing about that, I thought, if you come and look at my equipment, it's identical in every sense of the word, from the guitar to the speakers to the amplification, as Rhino's. So it's all white. I use the same speakers, the same amplifiers, it's the same guitar, and it looks immense. And I thought I had it nailed, really. People always come up to me at the end of gigs previous to going with State of Quo, and they'd say, you nailed the Rhino part, you know. So I'd say, well, I was really pleased with that. But when you go into a recording studio with Ian Hill, it's a different kettle of fish, because it might sound great to everyone, but if it isn't nailed and you haven't got every single part of it right, it doesn't go out there with Ian. And he learnt me so much in a short space of time, and where I was going, not wrong, but not right, if you know what I mean. It wasn't right for Ian. So that's why when you go to see State of Quo, if Ian doesn't think it's right, it won't go out there. And he's got a great ear, and it's just immense playing next to him. You know, when you're on stage and you watch, people used to say to me, "Your face, the faces I pull." Well, a pair of us pull the strangest faces when we're on stage, and you only see that when you see the videos back. You know, so it really is good. It's so crazy being on stage with Ian. And of course, Paul's a, you know, he's the driving force, just the way Rick was with State, you know, Status Quo. It's immense being up there with the guys.
I can well imagine. I've seen many videos and have been following you guys for years online. And you're right about Ian Hill. He really does have that attention to detail. What inspired you to go for the bass guitar in the first place?
Oh God. Well, it goes back. I mean, I'm coming of age now, you know, so I'm one of the old school, if you like, you know. So, 1973, just into 1973, I was 13. So, you know, we worked the maths out. I'm 60 next year. Oh my God. I had a little bread round. I'd go, you know, to earn a few pounds, you know, for pocket money and things. So they dropped me off at school and stuff. So the school disco was on, just at the, you know, the break of half term or whatever. And the DJ was playing Caroline and paper plane, and I've never heard anything like it in my life. So I went home and I wrote it. I went up to the DJ before I went home and I said, what were them two songs you've just played? Wrote them down. I went out the next day to the local market where there was a record store, and I give this piece of paper to the guy, and then he showed me these albums, you know, Hello, Pile Driver. And I said, oh, God, I haven't got enough money for them. Could you put them to one side? Don't sell them. So he gave me the singles, which were, you know, about 50 pence those days. And just banging away. So I've got the photographs and all this status quo. And I thought, ah, the bass player looks fantastic, Alan Lancaster. So I saved up all my pound coins, what I used to get paid for doing the bread round. And then my pocket money. And I went into Woolworths, that was in the town centre where I lived, and bought my first K bass. And I just sat there playing along. I'm self-taught, never had any lessons. So I played along with Alan Lancaster. And that's where I got my first bass. Still got it now, it's hanging up. And then, everything collapsed in 1984 when the band, you know, left, split up and all that. And then I never watched Status Quo when they got back together. My business life took over. I was a director of a company, so my music thing went on the back burner. And then when I seen Rhino playing, when he first came, it just wasn't Alan Lancaster. And then I was on my way home from work. I used to work in Leeds. And then Down Down was on the radio, and I thought, God, turned it up. And started boffing my head, as you do. And when I got home, I said, I've got to go check Status Quo out again, see how this Rhino's doing. And it was on the Ritz, just the Ritz store. And I've seen Rhino, he's totally different. And I thought, God, he's brilliant. So I went and seen them, met Rhino for the first time about a week later at the NEC. And the rest is history. As they say, you know, I've struck up a friendship with Rhino now. In fact, I've been speaking to him this morning, after last night's gig. So I've went out and bought the Rhino bass. I've got a few Status basses now. So picking up the bass there was no other instrument for me, you know, it was the bass, you know, so that was me.
It is an unusual thing. I always think it's unusual because a lot of people, they want to be Rick or they want to be Francis. But for you to kind of zero in on Alan is an interesting thing. But it's when you look back in hindsight, you realize just how good a bass player he was. And certainly if you look at the John Eden videos that are currently going out on YouTube, where he's singling out just Alan's bass, that's some really tight bass playing going on there.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. You know, I mean, although I as I said before, I've got all the... my luck, as far as my equipment is concerned, is Rhino, because it's all what I've done for years. But with State of Quo, it's generally the Frantic Four. So it's all their work, really. We throw... stuff in, you know, like Creeping Up On You and some of the newer stuff. But predominantly, it's all Frantic Four stuff, you know, from On Level, Blue For You, you know, all the classic albums, you know. So what people are hearing is as close as we can get it to the original sound, you know, the original soundtracks from the albums, which is massive these days, you know. I mean, it's great to see bands doing the newer stuff, but the fan base is predominantly massive on the Frantic Four stuff. I mean, when Alan came back over and he did the Frantic Four tour, it was, you know, I went to Manchester to see that, and you know, I've got to say, it's a bit strange, but you know, a grown man of like 50 odd years of age watching Alan 5-6 feet in front of me playing the bass again with Status Quo, it's just, you know, you fill up, you know, it was just amazing, you know. And that takes nothing away from what Rhino's done, everything he does, because I've probably based my whole last 20 years on Rhino, you know, so it's great, you know. So seeing them two guys back doing what they do has just been immense.
Oh, it was an amazing experience. And you mentioned the Hyde Park gig. For any podcast listeners who are listening months in advance, this is a Hyde Park Radio 2 gig. How good was that? That really was a return to form, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I fell out of love with Status Quo, which is a very hard thing to say when you're a massive fan, when Alan left, because he was so much of a big part of what I was doing at the time. But I came back because, I fell in love with them again. And because, you know, Rhino just changed it all for me. He's head down and giving it loads, if you like. The same sort of thing going, not with me now, but like the same sort of thing is people are finding it hard to take to the, you know, young Richie Malone. Now, Richie's not trying to take Rick's place. He's just doing the rhythm guitar section. And if you would have seen him last night and heard that last night live, wow, he was immense. You know, it's just, you close your eyes and you wouldn't think Rick had moved. You know, it was just sounded as if Rick was on the stage. It was just so, so banging with everything. And, you know, hats off to him, because he's not trying to fill Rick's shoes, you know, because no one will ever fill Rick's shoes. But he's doing a fantastic job for Status Quo. I really love it, you know.
Part of the controversy is obviously where the vocals have gone for some of Rick's tracks, being spread out among the band members. Do you agree with this?
I do, yeah. Unfortunately, you know, no one will have that husky, rough, dare I say, hard voice that Rick had. You know, when he sings stuff like Rain and stuff like that, he gives it, you know, you can feel it, you know. But, I mean, Rhino's got a decent voice, you know, it isn't Rick's voice, you know. It's changed, you know. But the sound is the same, but the Rick isn't there. Having said that, though, I thought Mystery Song last night was amazing. It was, you know, I think young Richie did a really good job of that.
Well, some of his phrasing was Rick-esque, but it wasn't an impression.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you can get carried away with that. You know, people would want, you know, yeah, you know, they'd like to, yeah, you know, you're never going to replicate his voice. But if you try to imitate Rick, I mean, it's like if Rhino was ill and Francis said to me, would you go on stage? Would you think you've got the bottle to do it? I said, yeah, of course you can. But if I went on and started doing the moves of Rhino, it would be stupid. You know, it wouldn't look right. Because people would think he's trying to imitate Rhino. I would have to adapt my own take on it. And I think that's what Richie's doing. He's not using the same guitars as Rick. He's not dressing like Rick. He's going out and being Richie. And that's what you'd have to do, you know. That's my humble opinion, anyway.
As a member of one of the best Status Quo tribute bands out there, I think you're fully, you know, that's a fully justified opinion. Now, I should ask you really about State of Quo. Do you get very busy with gigs, or is it very spare?
No, at the moment, I think our website is probably at its busiest it's been for a long time. Ian looks after all that. He's done a magnificent job. I mean, you know, we've just come off a really good gig, which is, you know, two gigs away now from the Quo convention, because we played the Saturday night at the Quo convention. Massively looking forward to that. But in between, yeah, a couple of days ago and the Quo convention, we've got a massive show in front of about 5,000 to 8,000 people, I think it is. Or I might be wrong. I might be exaggerating, Ian says. But we do the Lincoln Motorhome show at the Lincolnshire Showground. And that is massive, and that'll put us in good shape for the Quo Fan Club convention. And then after that one, we've got the Rick Parfitt memorial gig, you know, his birthday memorial gig, which is sold out, unfortunately, but that's at the Half Moon in Putney. That's on the 12th of October. And then we've seen the year out pretty much with about 8 or 9 gigs, you know, up to the 14th of, well, the 7th of December. So, but we go all over the country, and it's fantastic. You know, the Yardbirds, which was last week, it was rammed, you know, and they're all Status Quo fans. And when Ian asked them, have you seen us before, the whole room went up. So they obviously come out to see see bands playing Status Quo gigs, you know. So it's really good. The following out there is quite good, you know, so it's good.
Yes. Now, you mentioned playing the fan convention. Forgive me, have you played that convention before?
Yeah, 15. We were on the Saturday night again, I think, and we were just before Rhino. And it was great because the great thing about this, although John Coughlin's there and although Rhino's there, and I mean, I can't wait this year because, you know, although Rhino's my hero, my big hero is going to be there, and if I don't meet him, I think I'll cry my eyes out. So Alan Lancaster's going to be there this year, so I'm desperately wanting to meet him and have a photo or let him hold my guitar and sign it and do whatever he wants. But I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, there's no airs and graces with anyone. They all go backstage, they all have a laugh, they all wish you the best. You know, Rhino always says to me before I go on, get on there and smash it, you know what I mean? So, and that's great coming from the person I'm trying to imitate, you know? So, fantastic. The atmosphere backstage and out there, the fans are just unbelievable.
I often wonder how they left it so late, really, for there to be a Status Quo convention, because it only started in 15.
That's right, yeah. I think, Yvonne, who runs the whole thing, she's seen so many conventions, different conventions going on. You know, there's one up in Scotland, you know, they had one in Wales, they've had, you know. And I think, you know, this is with no disrespect to anyone, but there's accommodation there, you know, they take over Butlins. And it's so big that I think it's been a long time planning. And it probably came just after big anniversaries of Status Quo, you see. So, and then it's been built on that, because it was only a few years ago then when Yvonne actually took over on the fan club side of things anyway. So it's a massive thing to put together in such a short space of time for Yvonne to be taking over that mantle, if you like. So she's done a fantastic job, and I think everyone loves it a bit. You know, there's no one no one says a bad thing about Yvonne, because the amount of work she puts in, she travels all over the place with Status Quo. So, you know, hats off to her. I mean, I tried to do a small charity event, and it's massive, you know, it's massive to me, but this goes up massive levels, you know, so she's done a really fantastic job.
Well, I've heard great things about her and the stuff that the fan club do to kind of keep everything going. Now, I'm going to have to wrap up, but State of Quo, is there a particular track that you love performing, or is it literally just the whole set?
Well, you know, obviously I study Rhino every chance I get. And he keeps changing things, so I'll think I've nailed Rain, and then I'll see him a week later and he's put little twiddly bits in again. So I'll try and, you know, it's all back to the drawing board. But personally speaking, I love playing Rain. I love playing Pictures of Matchstick Men. I love playing Big Fat Mama. And, you know, I just love playing Status Quo music, to be fair. I probably go into my conservatory every night just having a little twiddle about, you know, because I do all my rehearsing in there. So I twiddle about with everything, but the music itself is just amazing. From going back to one of my favourite albums, Mark Kelly's Greasy Spoon, going back there and then bringing it all back to now, you know, I'll go right through the whole catalogue if I can. But I just, they're the four or five that I really like playing on stage, I've mentioned there.
Well, it's a nice selection of tracks. You're obviously playing the convention. What is the, you said it was the Lincolnshire show next, yeah?
Yeah, the Lincolnshire Motorhome Show. That's on the Lincolnshire Showground. We play there Friday night, so, you know, it's going to be a big one. We did it over in the Bath Showground. I think I might have got that wrong, but It was in, it's, I think it was called a Bat Show now, but it's the same people who look after this Lincoln Motorhome Show. So it's about Bath Motorhome Show last year. And it's just like going to a Status Quo concert because the staging is identical. Big PA hanging from the ceiling, all that type of thing. Massive light show, massive stage, and thousands of people. So it's a really good gig. So we're really looking forward to that.
Well, I wish you all the best with it and with State of Quo, of course. And I hope you can come on to talk about other elements of the Quo universe. But thank you very much for coming on today's podcast.
Thank you very much, Jamie. It's been a pleasure. And I look forward to seeing you whenever you turn around and just pop into any gig anywhere in the country. You're welcome.